I lucked out and I got my first sales leadership role at a company called LivePerson. I was working at AT&T. One of my partners went to this startup. He tapped me on his shoulder. He said, why don't you come over here and help lead sales? It's LivePerson, the 10-person company and startup in Manhattan, right? Eventually became huge. We went public in 14 months. Imagine you just got off a call and it was not the greatest call, right? It actually was shitty. And you want to blow off some steam. And sometimes when you work remote, well, who are you going to blow off steam to? Your dog? I mean, you could. But your dog's not a really good communicator. How, as a seller, can I take advantage of AI? There's so many tools and so many things. Break it down for me in the basics. Part of what we're going to do out of this hub, the selling community, is education, man. Like, I want to bring in experts, whether via Zoom or in person, at this case, to educate our members on here's the five things and the five tools I use, and here's what they actually do, and here's how you can actually use them.
Welcome to the Revenue Rebels podcast, brought to you by Warmly. On this show, we cut straight through the fluff and dive deep into the specific tactics that B2B revenue leaders across sales and marketing are using to find success in today's environment. I'm your host, Alan Zhao.
All right. Today we have on here Vince Beese. He's the founder and CEO of Sales at Scale, which is a B2B sales consultancy for VC-backed startups, as well as founder and CEO of Sales HQ, which is a co-selling, co-working community for high-performing sellers and sales teams. Vince has 25 years of experience in senior sales leadership positions at companies like Meta and Sugar CRM, as well as scaling four companies to successful exit. Today, we're going to be talking about building a sales community and developing yourself in a remote environment. Vince, welcome.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Alan. Great to be on the show.
Let's get into a quick background about yourself and we'll dive right into the topics.
I have an interesting kind of path to a sales career, right? I wanted to be in broadcasting. I went to the University of Maryland and I thought I was going to be a sports broadcaster. At least that's what I wanted to, until I realized how hard it was to break into the industry. Had some limited success. It was a metro traffic reporter and a DJ at an alternative radio station. And then, you know, I just by happenstance, for I think a lot of listeners out there, I kind of fell into sales, right? I was at a company. They were starting a new electronic publishing division. They needed somebody that did like a bunch of different things, one of which was sales. And I jumped in. This is like mid-90s and learned about online and bringing publications online, but also then selling advertising of all things, right? Never done that before in my life. So I kind of fell into it and loved the whole business aspect of it. You know, it's like really what makes the company really move is sales. And then fast forward, I lucked out and I got my first sales leadership role at a company called LivePerson because of a relationship I had. And this is the theme we'll continue to talk about. Building my network and my relationship. I was working at AT&T. One of my partners went to this startup. He tapped me on his shoulder, said, why don't you come over here and help lead sales? It's LivePerson, the 10-person company and startup in Manhattan, right? Eventually became huge. We went public in 14 months. So I got my bug and start in the startup world, going from AT&T with hundreds of thousands of employees to a 10-person startup in Manhattan. And I saw the difference. And from that point on, it was startups for the rest of my career. I saw the difference. I knew that was a better fit for me. And so that really launched my kind of startup career and really my sales leadership career. And then fast forward to, as you mentioned, you know, four more exits countless ramping up, building sales organizations. And to today, where I do a couple of things that are very much related, which is, as you mentioned, Sales at Scale, where I help early stage founders and leaders with their go-to-market execution, right? And then with that, I do it inside of a place called Sales HQ, which is a co-selling community for high-performing sellers and sales teams. So very much related. And I know we'll dive into that. And my firm belief over my entire career of building your network and building your communities that you're part of, which is really going to propel your career and success, quite frankly.
You talked about building community and building a network. I'm sure it was very different back in the day. If you had to start today to build your community and network in this remote world, how would you do it?
Well, there's so many great tools. And by the way, Alan, I was doing some research on my own LinkedIn profile, and I was able to extract all my contacts out of LinkedIn like anyone can. And then you can sort it by the date that you created your relationships. So it's 2004. And John Squire, a guy I'm still connected to today, was my first contact in, I think, April of 2004. So showing you how you can start your network, showing you how you can build these relationships. I met John probably 2002. We connected on LinkedIn already, known each other, and we continued a relationship. And so one of the ways, if you're just getting started, LinkedIn's the best platform for this to begin your network, right? I give you an example. My daughter is 23 years old. She's been out of college for about a year. She didn't have any kind of network really outside of her college and high school friends. What did I suggest? Go to LinkedIn, build your profile, and then start inviting people. Look who I'm connected to, right? Utilize my network. So as you're out there and you're starting to build your network, use your friend's network to build your network and then go from there. And then strategically pick and choose who you have things in common with that you want to invite to join your network. And then actually meet with them sincerely, authentically, meaning you have a topic you want to talk to them about, or you want to share something, or you're asking for something. That's what you want to do with your network is take advantage of it, right? Share with them, get something in return. I personally started doing, again, 2 to 3 coffee meetings a week. And it's people on my LinkedIn profile that I either have never met with before, or it's my ongoing relationships as well. So LinkedIn by far is your number one platform, and then branch out from that, go from there.
Well, it's becoming one of the top social networks, and it's really breaking down the barriers between work and personal. So it's very easy to connect with somebody and then just say, hey, what's up? I see your posts. I like them. Here's some of my stuff. You built your own public track record resume of all the things in your thoughts. And so it's very easy to know more about a person before you connect.
And that's the thing. I mean, don't get so caught up in I have to post, I have to write articles. Read some of the good, follow people that you respect and you admire and comment on their posts, or just read them. You don't have to in one day go from 1,000 connections to 10,000 connections, or I have to post 4 times a day because this person does 4. Ease into it, man. There's a lot going on there. So that's, to me, the first form of building your network. But also within LinkedIn, you're going to build little communities in that. What I mean by that is, like, if you're an SDR, maybe you have your group of SDRs that you have a side conversation with and created a channel with, whether it be on Slack or within LinkedIn, because you can do obviously group communication there as well. So start forming your little groups that are building these little communities as well. And collaborate. Like, we do that on text messaging all the time. I've got numerous different groups on my phone, friends, colleagues, business people. That these are all micro communities that you're building, right? It's collaboration. It's sharing and learning from each other, right?
Sometimes I feel like you can actually build an even bigger community if you do it remotely, if you do it correctly, because of how quickly you can enter these communities, how easy Slack has made it. So how about developing yourself remotely? If you were starting out, what specific resources would you use?
Someone who's looking to get in sales or newly into sales, something like that.
Someone newly into sales. If you had to start today, where would you go?
I would say that I think the most important thing, if you're looking for a job or you're starting a new job, is choose the company, or more importantly, the leader you're going to work for wisely. That leader you work for really should help mentor you and help you grow. So questions like, talk to me about what the onboarding training looks like, the process. How long is it? What's the detail to it? Talk to me about what ongoing training internally looks like for people in my role. Talk to me about my career path in my role. So number one is choose the person you are going to report to or report up to. More importantly than the product you're selling, it's the people that you're reporting to that are going to help you, nurture you along. That's number one. Then outside of the company that you work for and choose, right, you've got to challenge yourself to continue to expand your horizons and your learning. So we mentioned it, and I'll mention it again. LinkedIn is a great way to do that. If you're an SDR, follow other SDRs that you respect, or people that write about SDRs or BDRs or inside sales or account executives. Follow that and learn with the different sources of educational, you know, whether it be white papers or webinars or podcasts like this that people are following, and dedicate a portion of your week every week to continue with personal and professional development. And then lastly, we'll get into this, find your community. You know, I'm part of Pavilion. Alan, I know you're part of Pavilion. I've got an executive coach and I'm also part of Sales HQ. Start finding your niche where it's your people as well. Remote, absolutely, build from there. And then let's segment down from that to get to a local level as well. So you can start doing things in person. There's numerous things you can look into. Meetup was a great platform before. I haven't looked into as much, but a lot of local kind of events and conferences you can look into. But there's lots of other ways you can get involved locally as well.
Some new people may not know the benefit of meeting up in person and building community in person. Maybe they haven't been around long enough in their working career to do so. You have an interesting take, which is that sellers in a hybrid environment will outperform sellers who are 100% remote or 100% in office. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, and it's not just my belief, it's a fact. Matter of fact, a friend yesterday shared with me a study that came out from, I think HubSpot puts out a weekly email, and one of the statistics they said was hybrid sellers were 28% more likely to meet their sales goals than both 100% remote employees or 100% in office. And isn't that interesting, right? So you're 28% more likely to hit your goals if you're in a hybrid. And what is a hybrid? It means some portion of your week, you're in an environment, either your own office or a shared office with others like yourself, right? So I also know from personal experience of running sales organizations that my teams that were either in a hybrid or 100% in office, 100% of the time outperformed those that were 100% remote. So I know we're all in love with remote, and I'm not against it by any means, but I'm saying that you would be surprised if you have been 100% remote for a long period of time to be reminded what it was like to be in an environment with other people that do what you do. I think you'll find that you'll be re-energized. I think you'll find that your creativity levels will go up because your collaboration will go up. And just the feeling of actually sitting across from somebody and talking about something. For example, imagine you just got off a call and it was not the greatest call, right? It actually was shitty. And you want to blow off some steam. And sometimes when you work remote, well, who are you going to blow off steam to? Your dog? I mean, you could, but your dog's not a really good communicator. Imagine you go grab a cup of coffee with somebody in this hybrid environment and you end like, oh man, I just had a shitty call. It's mentally rewarding as well. And besides that, when you're in an environment where you're meeting other people face to face, lots of things come out. You sell to the e-commerce vertical? Oh, I sell to the e-commerce vertical. I didn't know you sold to that. Who are some of the accounts you're going after? Like, you get to that level of collaboration. But I just go back to it again. It's like most people in sales tend to be on the extrovert line, right? Whether it's full extrovert or slight extrovert, you're typically, so you enjoy this interaction. Like I enjoy talking to you right now remote, but I wish we were sitting right next to each other from a podcast, because I guarantee you our eye contact and context and everything would change a little bit by having that face-to-face interaction. And those of you that are out there that started the sales role probably in the last 5 years ago, you probably have never been on site at a client meeting before. And I have to tell you, being on site in a conference room with all the players on the client side, first sporadic people on Zoom, distractions on it, you've got their full attention for an hour or 90 minutes. If you can get an on-site with a client versus Zoom, you better jump all over that. If that's part of your business, your mid-market and above, because they're, for those of you that haven't done it, it's a huge difference. The relationship you build, the awareness and the actual dedication to that meeting, the focus of that meeting, it's just a different level, right?
If you're a fan of the Revenue Rebels podcast, please leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Your support goes a long way in helping us bring on more amazing guests. Thank you.
Trade-offs as well. I mean, there's nothing to hide behind once you turn off Zoom. You can go back to your TV or whatever you're doing, but you have to be 100% aware.
Well, you know, like the client side, they're not looking at their phone while you're in the room. You're not looking at the phone when you're in the room. You're focused intently on that. And don't think you're not building that relationship a lot better while you're in that. And then when the meeting breaks, what are you going to do? So how do you think we did? You're seeing their eyes. You're looking into their eyes and asking these questions, which is different when you're on Zoom and you're like, yeah, it was a good meeting. And they're ready off to the next thing or have to run to the bathroom, whatever it is. It's all these example elements I'm trying to say is, and again, I'm not against remote. Remote is here to stay. The tools we have are phenomenal, right? Like all that stuff's great. But when you have an opportunity to meet a person, whether it's on a personal level or a colleague or a peer or a mentor, you have the ability to meet this person in person, go for it. And especially client meetings, because the advantages far outweigh being remote.
How do you maximize your time remotely if people who are hybrid outperform people who are 100% one or the other?
I've seen kind of, to me, what remote has been great for me personally and how I think increase my efficiency and productivity is I dedicate portions of my day or a day of week to do the things I need more quiet time, like writing potentially for me. I like to do that first drafts by myself with not a lot of distraction. So for me personally, I might use a day or two a week that I will stay in a kind of isolated remote location to do those quiet things. But when I need the energy to pick me up, I'll go now into sales HQ and get the energy to do. Maybe for me, it's, you know, it's following up on calls. It's doing tours of the facility, stuff like that. I think there's this distinction between the stuff that you do well in a quiet environment and the stuff you do well in more of a high energy environment.
So coming back to Sales HQ, the co-selling community that you started, if someone were to join as a member, how do you envision them spending their days and maximizing their time through this program?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think we'll learn more as we open the doors. But how I envision it today is I like to say this. The difference between like us and a WeWork and other co-working place is that those places, you go in there and you go into a glass box with your organization, your company, your team, and you tend to play inside your box. At Sales HQ, the floor is the playground. So my point is how they're going to maximize their time is that we're going to do what we used to do, which is you're going to do your calls and you're going to do your demos and you're going to do your interactions out on the floor. And why is that great? Back in the day, and it wasn't that long ago, when you were a new sales rep, when you came in, you sat down, you would sit next to potentially someone's doing your role that had experience. And how did you learn? You listened to what they were saying. You listened to their calls and you picked up on things. And then you asked them after their call, hey, that was an interesting response you gave to that objection. Like, you learn so much more by sitting next to somebody that's doing what you're doing in real time. And I think that's the thing that, man, it's hard to even measure, but we know for a fact, and anyone listening out there that's probably nodding their heads, that's been on a sales floor in a sales environment, says, yep, you can't get that from remote. I don't care how many gong calls you've recorded. You just can't get the same level of attention and, you know, real time kind of learning you get from sitting from other people on the floor. And what's interesting about Sales HQ is not just people from your own team, which it could be. It's people from other teams that might be selling something completely different from you, but you're learning little tidbits from them as well. And then maybe you get up to take a break because we need breaks and the monotony, and you go over to the water cooler or get a cup of coffee and you collaborate on that. Like, that's real time collaboration. That's real time relationship building. That's real time networking, right? It's those things that I'm telling you now that I'm launching this and I'm back in the office myself. I say to my wife every day, I go, God, I need Sales HQ more than probably anyone else, because I'm sitting right now in my it's a nice office, this is my basement. This is it. There's nobody behind me. There's nobody on the side of me. I'm that type of person. I seek creativity. I seek, feedback from people on, hey, I got this idea. What do you think about that? I want people to punch holes in it. That's how you get better, to get back to what you asked me before. It's like, how do I improve? Well, don't believe your own bullshit. Go test it on people. If I'm in a room in Sales HQ with other sales people and sales leaders, and I think I've got a great idea, I could pull three of them aside and say, hey, I got this idea for this new thing, blah, 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 it does this. Do you think that's interesting? Would you use that? You don't know how many times now I get people that are on the software world who are authentically saying to me, I'm not trying to sell your people anything. I'd just love to come in to your group. We've got this new product or this new feature, and I just want to get their feedback. And now we have this kind of a lab, right? So it's not just a community. It's also a hub for sharing ideas and sharing, you know, how whether it be tools and so on and so forth, are getting absorbed in the sales community. And one last thing, I'll be quiet, is the number one question I get, and you probably hear in your podcast, and well, Tom, is like, how, as a seller, can I take advantage of AI? There's so many tools and so many things. Break it down for me in the basics. Part of what we're going to do out of this hub, the selling community, is education, man. Like, I want to bring in experts, whether via Zoom or in person, at this case, to educate our members on, here's the five things and the five tools I use, and here's what they actually do, and here's how you can actually use them. Because other than ChatGPT and some other things, it's kind of hard to really keep up with what's going on out there. It's moving at such a fast pace. And I think that this sort of environment, this sort of a community in general, really helps with that, right? Education, what's going on, because whether you're in your early 20s or in your 50s, if you don't keep up with what's going on in technology these days, you're toast, you're done, right?
Absolutely. I think that's definitely one of the benefits of a remote environment, is that many jobs are remote. And so you have the ability to take meetings remotely, which means that other people from other companies could potentially even listen in. And so you're taking the best of two worlds, is you're combining the remote meetings that you're having with clients, and then you're also creating this community around that, so you can cross-pollinate some of the best practices, just like you said, best AI practices, best sales objections handling practices, and all the while building a community. So that's fantastic.
And like, let's say you are 100% remote worker, which you're a lot, and I'm in the Raleigh area, whether you're an individual contributor or a leader that doesn't have a team here, we're going to replicate things. Like, if you're interested in joining, we'll do a morning stand-up like you would. We'll do celebrations with a real gong and a real bell, not emojis on a Slack channel. So if you want to celebrate that big deal that you signed, we'll have specific times of the day that you can celebrate that. We're going to do fun stuff. Like, sales is fun, man. Like, and not that it's not fun working remote, but it's more fun. It's like watching people on the amusement rides versus being on the amusement rides. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that roller coaster looks cool, but wouldn't the roller coaster be a lot more fun if you actually rode the roller coaster? I would use a sports analogy, but I'll be honest with you, the way production is for football games and TV, like, it's actually a better experience to watch football games on TV these days sometimes than, you know what I mean? It's
freezing cold in the stands where you can barely see the play.
You get the 50 different angles for a replay, so I stay away from that analogy.
Are there people in your career that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Oh my gosh. Oof. Well, he might not be listening, because interestingly enough, the gentleman that got me my start really in my career is Scott Cohen. He was at this company called 24/7 Media that was one of my partners when I was at AT&T. He's the gentleman that left 24/7 Media and went to LivePerson at a senior level position and said, hey, I think you would be a great sales leader here. I'm like, well, Scott, I've never really even run a sales organization. He goes, yeah, but I've worked with you. I see the characteristics and what you're about. He took a chance on me. I mean, like, I didn't know shit about sales leadership, right? I was managing processes and partnerships, but I didn't manage a team. And this guy took a chance on me and launched my career. And Scott Cohen, if you're out there, man, thank you for giving me my start. And that's how it happens out there, right? If you want to be a sales leader, but by the way, be careful what you wish for, because there's a lot that comes along with that. You didn't have to be a VP of sales somewhere. You have to show the characteristics that you not just do your job today, you've got to do the job you want to be. So if you want to be a leader in your own role. Be a mentor to your own people that are doing what you do. And trust me, it will come out, right? It just does. So if it weren't for Scott, I wouldn't have never gotten to the sales career, you know? I still look back, and one of the things he said to me, it was the funniest thing. He goes, Vince, what you need to remember about sales is the world stops rotating on its axis if we don't sell anything. That's how important sales is. I'm like, wow, that's a pretty profound statement, that we as sellers are the most important thing in the world. But it was exaggerated on purpose. It's like, if you think about it, Alan, right? What's the most important thing? And at any company, it's, if you're not growing, you're dying, right? And typically growth comes from the efforts of a lot of people, but sales is a big component of that. And I think what we're doing now in the last 18 months is recognizing the fact that companies need to get to profitability like we always used to. That was the main goal of a company, was to get to profitability and growth as fast as possible. And I think, again, I think we're all waking up and realizing the importance of salespeople, the process, and how you go about your business. So, yeah.
Salespeople, I've heard from one LinkedIn post I saw recently, is the backbone of the American economy. So it is no joke. They produce, and we wouldn't be here as a company for Warmly if we didn't have them. So definitely see where you're coming from with this. Any last words of advice for our listeners?
I would say my biggest piece of advice is work on building your network every single day. It's not just, I don't mean by just adding people to your LinkedIn network, which is important specifically, but work on your network every day, because it's your network that you build in your early 20s and advance your career. That's going to help you all along the way, whether it's advancement to a new role or finding a new role or learning about something new. If you're going to spend time to really help yourself, it's building your network. And then second piece tied to that, which is really find your community. And I don't mean it just from a work standpoint, outside of work, within work. Find your different communities that you are involved in. Because again, it goes back to helping with your health. It goes back to helping you professionally. This community, it's really strong. You know, and I give the example of my daughter was part of a tech layoff, and just did a simple post on LinkedIn for some help. And you know what I mean? And it didn't happen. I've been working on this for quite some time, right? That I recognize, oh my God, that's really kind of these people to react to this. Some of these people know me, some of these people don't know me, but they know that they probably look at my profile and see that I share, and I'm very giving. And let's see if we can get back to Vince now for his daughter to find a next career. So spend time building your network authentically and genuinely, for sure.
LinkedIn has done a great job of creating a giving community. Definitely see that. How can people find out more about you?
The great thing about my name, Vince Beezy, is there's not a lot of Beezys on LinkedIn. So I would say the first and foremost is go to LinkedIn, send me an invite. Love to connect with people out there, especially if you want to network and really collaborate. That's number one. If you're local in the Triangle, which is the Raleigh-Durham area, you can find us on saleshq.co, or from a professional standpoint, it's salesatscale.com. Those are the three best ways to find me.
Great, Vince. Well, it was great having you on here. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about community and how to grow your sales network and up level.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it, man.